Hi, it's Boyd Matheson, opinion editor of the Deseret News and host of Inside Sources on KSL News Radio. If you're looking for the best interviews, debates, and candid conversations about politics, check out the KSL Politics Podcast. You can find it at kslnewsradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, I've been following this story, a lady by the name of Donna Miller, who recently moved to Utah before something happened to her on August 21st, 2018. She was stopped. She had a traffic stop. She raised three children, single mom in Northern Virginia, and once they were grown, at the age of 59, she came here to Utah to pursue her dream of becoming a nurse midwife. She found this LDS program, business program, and followed a promotional campaign with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, of which she is a member. And Donna, are you on the line? Tell us the story of what happened to you. I know you were driving to Fashion Place Mall to attend classes. Tell us what happened.
Well, back in 2018, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, I was coming out to the Fashion Place Mall when Officer Allred pulled me over. And when he stopped me, asked me, do you know why I was pulling you over? So I said no, and he said, well, I ran your plates, and there was no insurance. And so I took out my insurance, and I showed him that I have insurance. And then he said to me, well, I have probable cause to think you under the influence, and I need you to step out of the car now. And so he says, because I'm going to have to perform few sobriety tests on you. So I did, and because I knew I was not under the influence, and he started to perform sobriety tests on me. He did the first one. I blew. I walked. He did the eye test, and then he performed, like, several other tests. And then he said to me, well, I'm going to have to arrest you. I was like, arrest me? And he needs to call for backup. So he did. And
When he said he was going to arrest you, did they find any, did he indicate that there were any traces of blood alcohol in the test or any drugs in your system? Did these tests reveal anything that may have been positive?
No, they revealed nothing. I blew a zero content. I did the walk, and then he did the eye test. One of the things he kept saying to me, your eye looked dilated. That's when we were standing before the officer. Your eye looked dilated. You're not focusing. And that's what he kept saying to me. And so the highway cops arrived, and two cops searched my car and came back and, you know, probably did a little sidebar conversation, telling him they didn't find anything but my laundry. And the highway cop performed the test again on me, and then he arrested me and put me in his vehicle. Mm-hmm. Where we proceeded to go to the station. He put the handcuffs on me, put my hands behind my back, and took me to the station. On our drive to the station, I kind of said to him, my hands was hurting, you know, and he's like, well, if I were you, you know, trying to antagonize me to behave badly, I would do I would just be mad too. Mm-hmm. You know, I would be mad too if I were you. And so I realized what he was doing, and I kept silent. And he took me to the station, handcuffed me to the chair where a couple of other officers came. He said they were the experts on the sobriety test and the other tests. And they took my blood.
How long were you at the police station doing this?
The station. I was held in the station for 3 hours. We were in the street for like an hour before we got to the station.
So let me ask you this one more time, and then, of course, I want to make sure that Scott gets in and ask some questions also. But I just want to ask this one more time. After going in to the police station where you were questioned, did anybody indicate that they give you any tests, that they show that there are any tests that came out positive? I know he said that the eyes seemed dilated, but did they give you any reason as to why they arrested you or what the charges were?
No, he did not give me a reason. Actually, while we were waiting for the other cops to come, I said, I need to make a phone call. And he snatched my phone out of my hands and said, no, because I was going to call. I was new in Utah, and the only person number I had here was my home teacher, who's now my bishop. And he grabbed my phone out of my hand, so I couldn't make a phone call to my bishop. And he didn't allow me to make a phone call in the station when I got there.
Scott.
Yes. Donna.
Yes.
Thank you for having the courage to come on and share this with us. And Mia had told me a little bit about your story, and I had read it previous. I was the state senator over Murray, and my experience over the years with Murray is that it's a top-notch city. And just hearing what you've shared with us today, and there's always two sides to a story, and we certainly look forward to having some Murray representatives on, but it sounds to me, and the question I have for you is, what happened at the end? When did they finally say, enough's enough, and you can go now? Can you kind of just share with us the next steps?
Well, after I got the blood test taken, he wrote his report. We did like about 10 other tests in the station of me walking, of them looking at my eyes, and me blowing. And then he said, my eyes, they can't figure out my eyes. They got to put me in a dark room. So Officer Allred and another officer took me into this pitch black room. I'm so sorry. I'm so emotional.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Just breathe deep, my friend. Donna, we're here. We're here. You're okay.
Well, they put me into this pitch black room, and I couldn't even see when I walk in. And they said, well, this is because we could see your eyes dilation. So they shone the light in my eyes, and they asked me to open my mouth. And they said, as we were doing that, the other officer was telling me, oh, like he wanted me to confess to doing marijuana or any drugs or any doing any ball. I don't know what kind of ball drugs. And I was petrified.
Petrified.
Because I felt like, you know, everybody, you know, it was me and these two officers in the police station, and they had guns on them, and all my mind keeps flashing back to, I'm never going to hear my kid's voice. I'm never going to go home.
Wow.
Because all I'm thinking is was Sandra Bland, because here I'm in a dark room in a station that is empty with two cops, obviously not rooting for me. And then we came out that room. I was relieved. They wrote some more reports. And then he says, because you're a nice person, you're a nice woman, I'm going to let you go. But we usually jail people for these kind of things.
Hmm.
You give me my phone.
I don't know. I find that there's a lot of questions here that I think that, you know, I'm really intrigued to hear what Murray has to say about this. However, when things like this happen, it's really embarrassing for somebody to come out and talk about this. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody knows that this is not something that you ever, if this has happened to you, that you ever want to get out and talk about, because it becomes something embarrassing for you or something to, and so I want you to know, Donna, you should not feel embarrassed about this at all.
I never told anyone about it, but my daughter, who's an attorney, and she's the one that got the attorneys and the ball rolling, because I was so embarrassed and ashamed, because I was ashamed, because here I am in Utah, and I'm a Mormon, and people are accusing me of such a...
We have about 30 seconds, but I just wanted to ask, in this lawsuit, what are you asking for? What is it that you want from Murray City? I think this is important.
Well, primarily, my goal is to make sure that no one else has to experience this kind of a humiliation and trauma that has been done to me. And I want to feel protected and served by the law enforcement community. I would like the Murray Police Department to participate in, you know, in some kind of a mandatory annual department-wide bias training hosted by, like, a third party and have some kind of diverse inclusion in this specialist. That's what I would like to see come up with.
Donna, thank you. I cannot believe how courageous you are. You're my new hero. And thank you, in the spirit of John Lewis, as we celebrate his passing in a good sense, that he's in a better place. You know, when we see something and we hear something, if we don't do something about it, in his words, then we're just wrong as a society. And you know what? There's police officers. There are elected officials. I worked for IBM for 34 years. You know, we have good apples, and then we have some challenging apples. And your sense of forgiveness and just asking to make things better for everyone, I think it's a good ask. And I think it's something that Murray City hopefully will stand up to. In all my years in working with them, they're pretty stand-up people down there. And Donna, I want you to know that you're our hero today. You get the Boyd Matheson Hero of the Day Award for your courage to do the right things. And thank you for not getting angry, but holding your temperament so we can fix a problem. And you know, we got a lot of things to do. And Black Lives Matters, it's a good cause. We don't want to go too far to the right or too far to the left, but we want to make sure that every citizen in the great state of Utah and in the United States of America are welcome and have equal rights.
Well, next we're going to have Heather White up in the next segment. She is the attorney representing Murray City in the lawsuit. Up next. Wow, so much to talk about. We are here in Inside Sources. I'm Mia Love. I am guest hosting for Boyd Matheson and joined by special co-host Scott Howell, who will be joining me today and tomorrow. We just spoke to Donna Miller, who told us her story about what was happening, what happened to her with Murray City Police, and she is suing the city. And we actually have a representative of the city, attorney, Heather White, who is on the line to tell us what she thought happened and give us some insight of at least their side of the story. Heather?
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
I heard two different components when Ms. Miller was speaking. One was how she was feeling emotionally, and the other was what factually happened. What I wanted to start with is, like you said, clear up some of the facts that were, I believe, misstated by Ms. Miller.
Okay.
And feel free to interrupt me at any time if you have any questions.
Sure.
So Officer Allred was on his way to work when he saw Ms. Miller pulling out of the Fashion Place Mall. She was sitting westbound in the middle of State Street in the lane running northbound on State Street. And it appears that she was confused, and that's what caught his eye. She was sitting really in the middle of the road. And then she figured out that she couldn't turn left is what it appeared to him, and so turned right and made her way up to where she could make a U-turn to go southbound. And as she did so, she was straddling in and out of the lane of travel several times. So that is one sign of impaired driving. So you've got two instances now where she's sitting in the traffic the wrong way and then her driving pattern. So he decided to flip a U-turn and follow her and see if he could, you know, see what her further driving pattern was. And as he was doing so, he ran her license plate, which came back showing that she had no insurance on file. So she was stopped at a stoplight, and he was stopped behind her, and he determined that based on her driving pattern and the fact that she had no insurance, that he needed to pull her over because she was potentially a danger to the motoring public. So he did, and she pulls right over, there is a dash camera recording that shows the interaction between him and Ms. Miller, which will be very critical in establishing and backing up Officer Allred's what occurred. So when he stopped her, he approached the car and told her that he thought she might be impaired, and asked if she was sick. And she said no, she wasn't, but she had taken some medications that morning. So there's the third sign. The first is you have the driving pattern, then you have the no insurance, and then you have the fact that she acknowledged she had taken medications. But she claimed that she wasn't impaired, but he could test her. So he did the standard tests that are done for impaired drivers, and one of those is a portable breath test, which tests for alcohol. And she didn't demonstrate an alcoholic odor, so he didn't think that it would come back positive, the breath test for alcohol, and it didn't. And that's what he's doing, is he's doing this investigation to determine what signs and symptoms she has or doesn't have. So he kind of ruled out alcohol at that time, but there's still the impairment and the medication issue.
Okay,
and so
as
he was talking with her, he became more concerned that she did not know what time it was.
Hang on a second. Okay, so you said I can interrupt, because before we go on to this, there are a couple of questions.
Yes.
And I just want to just put it out there that, you know, I, as a former mayor, as a former city council member, as a person who has sworn in officers, I love our officers. There are some great officers out there that do some great things, and I want to make sure that everyone knows that I'm coming from this in a place where I am a supporter of police officers. But there are a couple of questions that I, you know, as I'm listening to this, okay, first of all, it's not a crime to take a medication, so especially if you're not impaired. So he did the alcohol test, and the alcohol test came out negative, which he said he thought it would come out negative. They said that they looked and on file, and they realized that she didn't have insurance. But she said that she showed proof of insurance. Is that correct?
Yes, she did show proof of insurance.
And so I guess I'm getting to the point, where did it come from actually taking her and arresting her? If there was no traces of alcohol found, if he couldn't tell whether she was impaired by whatever he thought that she may be taking. I mean, you could take anything from, like, Tylenol or, you know, there are several medications that you can take that obviously still allow you to drive. The insurance was correct. So what led to the arrest that led to the interrogation afterwards for 3 hours and then led to releasing her?
That's an excellent question, and what is really the key factor. So he has this driving pattern, and her confusion about not knowing what time of day it is, and so he performed, and she consented to perform these field sobriety tests, the typical field sobriety tests. So some of those are like the walk and turn, and you know, the counting the numbers and all of those that you kind of see and hear about.
So did she fail that?
Another one is to follow an object with your eyes only. And so she failed those field sobriety tests. She demonstrated that she had nystagmus in her eyes, which is an indicator of someone being on a substance. It doesn't, the eyes don't flow smoothly, and
okay,
did not.
I don't have very much time. I'm so sorry. I know I don't have very much time. I'm giving you as much time as I possibly can. I know Scott has a question. I want to make sure he gets it in.
Heather, could you join us for this next segment? Because you haven't answered some of our questions, and I want to give you the opportunity to answer them. Would you be willing to stay with us this next segment?
Oh, absolutely.
Wonderful. Okay, we look forward to it. And I think this is so interesting and so important to the community. If you're all right, I'm all right. We'll just keep
going. Yeah, we'll just do that. That would be great.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to the Boyd Matheson Program, starring Mia Love and Scott Howe. We're big fans of Boyd, and we'll try and fill those big shoes today. Remember the text line, 575-000, if you want to weigh on this subject. Have you ever been lost driving down a highway and not knowing which way to turn when you go to a new city? We'll ask Heather about that when coming up.
Okay, we are back, and we still have Heather on the line. I know that Scott has a few questions. Scott Howell, take it away.
Hey, thank you very much. And Heather, thank you for staying with us. We really appreciate it. Heather, I'm still not clear. The database showed that Donna didn't have insurance, but then she had proof of insurance. So did she have insurance, just yes or no?
So she did. Heather,
you don't even need to go explain that. As one of the original authors of that legislation back in the day, I know it very well. And so that was one of the concerns that we had. Heather, the other thing is, you know, for me, just listening to the story and hearing all the things, I don't know of too many people that get taken into a dark room. And we have a text that just came in from one of our callers, and it said, "Good for Donna. I hope she wins. Taking her into a dark room to they misspelled this, so her eyes would be dilated for the Phil test is BS." We have another one that wrote in and said, "Love it. Mia knows her stuff," which we all know is true. The other one that I thought was interesting, "Skin color should not be an excuse for bad behavior. Take away the skin color in this story. You don't have a story." So it's kind of interesting that our callers are weighing in. Mia?
I agree that I spoke to my husband about this before even covering this, and he said, "Mia, knowing that I am a woman of color," he said, "would you be following this story if it were about if she weren't a woman of color, if she weren't a black woman?" I said, "No, actually, I would continue to do this story if she were Hispanic, if she were white, if she were, it does not matter. To me, it's about making sure that we do the training that needs to happen. This would be an embarrassing situation for anybody." And so, Heather, I just want you to know that, this is stuff that a lot of people are going to be looking at. We need to get comfortable having uncomfortable conversations. We need to elevate the dialogue. And I guess I just have one more question before we end this, because there are too many questions that I certainly were not going to be able to answer on the radio. But did any tests come back positive, any of the drug tests that were given to her, did it come back positive at all?
So there was a blood test that was eventually administered, and it came back negative. But it is important to remember that there's a very limited amount of medications that it screens for. It's looking for things like cocaine, methamphetamines, a very small number. So just because a toxicology test comes back negative does not mean that there is no substance in the blood. And it's also really important to remember that Officer Allred, so there's two different time periods to this. There's what he did out on the street, and she failed the field sobriety test out on the street, which is why he arrested her. Then he took her to the police station and had a specialized drug recognition expert from the Utah Highway Patrol come and conduct some of the same tests and much more detailed tests. And that's when she was taken into the dark room. And it wasn't that they were looking for dilated pupils. That wasn't what it was. It was that they were looking for all these different things that happen with the eyes that can only be done in the dark when a light is shown. And it would be frightening to be in that position.
Yeah, of course
I don't think anyone would argue otherwise, but there is a reason that those things are done, and it wasn't that they were trying to fabricate evidence, but is they were doing what they were trained to do to look for the signs of impairment. And the certified drug recognition expert from the state,
Heather,
from Utah Highway Patrol,
Heather,
that he thought she was impaired.
Yeah, Heather, well, I think on that note, the answer is no. She wasn't impaired because they ran the test where we find medication. Heather, can there be a good solution to this? And I'm with Mia. I've always been the supporter of public safety, and I've always thought that they deserve that first chance of opportunity to keep the law moving. But in this case, is there some reasonability, since Donna's not asking for any type of monetary, but she's asking for some training and different things? Is that a possibility that maybe there was some
mistake or
you know,
things could have been handled better?
Right.
Well, let me correct you first. She is seeking monetary damages. The second thing is Murray City does conduct trainings, particularly and specifically racial bias, implicit bias training. They do that. And so you will, as this case progresses and the information comes out, it will become clear to the public that this was not racially motivated, that this was not an overstepping of the bounds. The officers did exactly what they were supposed to do, and sometimes that means that people are pulled over and demonstrate signs for impairment, and that's when they might not end up being, and that's why we have the justice system, which sorts that through, and we have the jury system to determine whether someone is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But yes, I agree with you that these are important conversations to have, and it is important for all sides to be heard. It's true.
Which is exactly what we're doing here. Heather, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. It's an important issue, and I really appreciate your insight.
Thanks, Heather. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me and for allowing us to explain the officers and where they were coming from.
Thank you. You know, as I listen to this, Scott, it is really quite interesting for me because, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have gone into a new area where I was a little bit confused and had to pull over, had to look at the directions
You're
to
right.
make sure. And it wouldn't be out of the norm for somebody who just moved from Virginia to Murray to try and find, their place. But I, you know, again, this is such. These are great stories to talk about. I think they're, you know, this is not something that I think is black white. It's about right and wrong, and it's about what kind of training we have. And if we're going to try and elevate the conversation and make things better for people, then this is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have these conversations. And I hope this works out well. I hope Donna can at least get this taken off of her record. And I have to tell you, this has been a lot of fun.
Great, Mia. All I can say is amen. And Utah's 50-day moonshot challenge, wear a mask, maintain social distancing, isolate as needed, stay safe, and join us tomorrow
when
the Mia and Scott show is on.
Goodbye.